Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us, according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of Your holy name.
The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance, and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The lesson for this evening is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found that returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." So far the lesson.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This week's gospel is a very well-known text. It's heard in our churches not only this week, the 14th week after Trinity, but we also hear it frequently read as a gospel lesson on Thanksgiving Day. As often as not, studies on this text focus on the unthankfulness of the 9 and the thankfulness of the 1. Well, that is a very important part of the text. But if that's as far as we can go with this lesson, then we have really not gotten as much out of it as we are supposed to. The first point, in fact, on which we really have to focus is the fact that all 10 of those lepers were healed. All 10 of them, we are shown, believed Christ's promises. They were healed not because they had faith or because they were thankful or not, but solely they were saved by the power of Christ's own word. And that's the first and most important point in this text. Now, we realize, of course, right away that the application of this lesson is not just to people who have leprosy or some other dreadful physical ailment. The application of this text is to those who are by nature sinful and unclean. Leprosy, we know, was the dreadful disease feared above all other diseases in the world at that time, much more fearful, in fact, than cancer today. Because for leprosy to exist unchecked in a community was to condemn the whole community to a miserable existence, a horrible death for the individual, and ultimately the annihilation of the community. And so all societies in the ancient world would expel lepers, and they placed a horrible stigma on them. They were truly taboo. They were outcasts of the highest degree. Now, the only way for a leper to return to the community from which he had been expelled was to show irrefutably, without any doubt, that his leprosy was completely gone. And the Old Testament law of God, with the purpose of preserving the Jewish nation out of which the Messiah was to come, prescribed very rigidly the manner in which leprosy was to be dealt with. And readmission to society was only through the temple priests, who had a rigid series of tests by which the former leper was tested to see that he was indeed purified and free from his leprosy. Furthermore, because lepers were cast out of society, and because that expulsion most often included the entire family, the children born to lepers were often destined to contract leprosy themselves. And one would often find, therefore, several successive generations of lepers consigned to a leper colony as outcasts. That was their world. It's clear then that in this miracle, our Lord sets before us a very penetrating lesson. If the leprosy of this gospel lesson is to remind us of something, it must come to stand for the spiritual leprosy all of us have from birth, from conception, really. A leprosy by which we are all sent out, expelled from the community of God and his fellowship. The spiritual leprosy, of course, is our sinful nature. It marks us as being sinful people, not only guilty of wrong deeds, but riddled to the very core with guilt and an evil nature. Leprosy was not only a disease of the skin, that was where you saw it, but it went deep into one's inside, his bones and flesh. And so, too, that's an important lesson to learn here, to be reminded that our sinfulness is not just simply a sinfulness on the surface, not just simply a skin-deep sinfulness of action, but it goes deep into the very heart of our being. One does not see the depth of one's sinfulness by looking merely at one's deeds, at what one does and does not do. Because sin, our spiritual leprosy, manifests itself in the heart, in the soul, in the core of one's being. So just as leprosy is not cured by picking off the scaly scabs and impurities of the flesh, neither is sin conquered simply by refraining from certain actions, by straightening up as well as one can, by picking off one's moral scabs, the omissions, the commissions of daily life. The healing that is demanded here has to go right to the very core of one's being. And so in this gospel, the lepers come to Jesus, and they lift up their voices, and they cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesu, eleison. Kyrie, eleison." And it's to that heartfelt cry, which recognized him as the Lord, as the Messiah, it was to that heartfelt cry, which was a cry of misery, which knows how miserable it is, that Jesus replies with his powerful words, but they seem so simple. "Go show yourselves to the priests." And of course we understand that that doesn't mean that if they showed themselves to the priests, they would be healed, but they were to show themselves to the priests to declare that they had been healed. It was not to be cleansed by the priests, but to prove that they were cleansed. And before they can even see that they are cleansed, they do as Jesus says. They believe his word. They are confident that they will be cleansed because he has said it. In this, there's no distinction between the nine and the one. All of them went away in accordance with Christ's word. All of them were healed. He who sees his sin and who is aware of being sick and wretched and lost and condemned hears the word of comfort, the powerful word of the gospel, the word of the Lord Jesus. I have cleansed you by the washing of water and the word. And believing that word, it is cleansed. We are cleansed. And we must in truth believe that word, that we are cleansed of our sin and our guilt. Even though we still see ourselves in this world tainted with the scales of our sinful deeds and lives, what we believe is the promise of the one who tells us that we are healed. We are justified by the power of his word. We are forgiven by the authority of his word. But what was wrong with the nine who did not return? Again, it was not that they'd failed to believe, because they did believe. And nowhere are we told that because of their failure to return and give thanks, that they were again stricken with leprosy, that Jesus had withdrawn the gift. The gospel here is calculated to show without mistake that they were cleansed regardless of their failure to return and give thanks. And thus we are reminded that our healing is not due to any merit or any act of our own. The power of his word is not dependent on our faith. But the lesson here is that we must not fail to return to the Lord who has healed us from our spiritual leprosy. Only by returning again and again do we remain steadfast in our faith, remembering who it was that healed us and still promises to be with us. The effect of the failure of the nine to return is that they took for granted what happened to them. And to take that healing, or the greater healing from sin, for granted is finally to trust it no longer as the mighty work of God. The nine are not unlike those of whom Jesus speaks in the parable of the sower, where some hear the word and never come to faith, and others hear it and believe it, but soon their faith is choked out by the thistles. And there's only one way in which we shall not be then like the nine, that we return to the word of our Lord daily to be refreshed in it, to be reminded of our sinfulness, and to be forgiven anew. Never become insensible of your own sinfulness, the leprosy of which he has cleansed you, but return daily, aware of your deep infection, and give thanks for his great healing. To God alone be the glory. Amen. Let us rise.